The Federal CIO Council's mobile technology Tiger team is climbing a Defense Department tree. It's recommending DoD standard for vetting mobile application security. The team's goal is to make it easier and safer for agencies to develop and deploy mission-critical apps. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now to discuss these recommendations and why app vetting is the next great challenge in mobile computing. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
It's early for you today, so great to have you on here at this hour. Tell us about that standard the Tiger team is recommending and how would it work?
Sure. Now, as you mentioned, the Federal CIO Council is choosing the National Information Assurance Partnership, or NIAP's, protection profile for mobile apps as really the standard way to vet mobile apps across government. Rob Palmer is the lead of the Mobility Tiger team and the Homeland Security Department's Director of Information Assurance. He explains why NIAP makes the most sense.
The NIAP program would be the place where we are going to house all of the work that's been done into that place where we can consistently review it, revise it, and that is something that has industry involvement. So industry can contribute to this. It is not just a federal guideline that is pushed, but it's an interactive and iterative process.
Now, Palmer spoke yesterday at the Federal Mobile Computing Summit sponsored by MobileGov in Washington. To be clear, Tom, the decision doesn't mean NIAP will approve or vet all mobile apps. That's definitely not the case. Palmer says each agency and each vendor in many cases will use what he calls the protection profile that NIAP created and continues to evolve as the basis for their mobile app vetting efforts. He says NIAP's approach is really a good foundation that is collaborative and coordinated than really the disparate approaches that many agencies are taking on today. Jean Peterson is the acting director of NIAP. She says NIAP will continue to depend on communities representing governments, vendors, academia, and international partners.
Together, we derive a set of what we consider to be baseline security requirements. And from there, we put them into common criteria language or keep them in English, depending on the application where they're going to be used. The beauty of this is that in collaborating, we kind of harness the power of everyone together. So we have this collective group of experts for a particular technology. It's an active community that has stood up and continues to work throughout the development of the requirements and then beyond. So as industry changes, as the technology changes, we keep our requirements, our standard current, because we're interacting with this group on a regular basis.
Now, Peterson says the mobile app vetting profile, this one specifically, was written in English and is in partnership with the National Institute of Standards and Technology. She says it was kind of a pilot to see if we could write something in English that people can understand and would use it. And she says, you know, that was actually a pretty good pilot. It worked well. NIAP has been working closely with NIST over the last few years as well, specifically incorporating the new special publication 800-163 into their protection profile. That's the app vetting profile, Tom.
Okay, so how is mobile app vetting done now by agencies, and how will this whole new process, this new standard, improve on that way they're doing it now?
Well, the current approach is really disparate. I mean, every agency is doing something a little different. You know, the Homeland Security Department has its car wash process. We've talked about that in the past. I just mentioned NIST released its mobile app vetting guidelines. So some agencies are looking at DHS, some are looking at NIST, and even some are going their own way to create maybe an entirely different process. Palmer says this is causing problems both long and short term. He says moving to the NIAP standard will actually solve many of these challenges.
Bottom line is there's tons of apps out there, way too much for any one agency to really kind of get their hands around, and it continually evolves. So we've got to have a rapid and responsive structure to handle that. How do we not each individually go after vetting potentially, you know, millions of apps that our mission practitioners might want to use? That is a very daunting task and one that none of us really wanted to tackle individually. So we said, let's look at it. If I vet, and I meaning, say, DHS, if DHS vets an app, why does DoD have to re-vet that app? If we have some insight into how the app was vetted, what criteria it's using, and the use case for which it was vetted, if we have some insight into that, then we ought to be able to have some type of reciprocal agreement for that app.
Now, Palmer says this also will work, be a major change for industry as they will have one standard to work from. He says vendors can build tools that check apps against this common mobility security profile, or they can build the specific apps that actually meet those standards. And in fact, he says vendors have been asking for this standard criteria for some time because it's frustrating to go, you know, if they go to HHS to build an app for them or work with them, they have one set of standards. If they go to Interior, there's another set of standards. By having this one standard, they all know the direction that they should be walking down. Palmer said he'd like to see in the future that from this protection profile, the standard, a suite of tools that not only meets the security standards, but it can help agencies better understand the risk they are accepting. Tom Karagiannis is a computer scientist at NIST. He says NIST published the final specification for vetting these third-party mobile apps in January. And he says NIST's goal is to give agencies help in deciding how much rigor they need as they vet these mobile apps. Karagiannis says the NIST 800-163 guidance and the NIAP security baseline really are complementary.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. And a couple of questions. Did the topic of app wrapping come up, which is a technology offered by many, many vendors that simply encapsulates any app in a security layer, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore? That's what commercial people are doing for their mobile users.
Interesting. It did not come up. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about the sandboxes and the MDM, mobile device management. One vendor I talked with even said, I'm not sure why we keep talking about MDM. They're proven, they've been around for a long time. But this idea, as you described it, mobile app wrapping, was not a part of the conversation.
Oh, well, if I'd been there, it would have been. All right. And now, Jason, beyond mobile apps, there are also concerns about device security. So how are agencies getting at this particular challenge?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you could have a great mobile app vetting process, but if your smartphone or tablet or the new term, Tom, I love now is phablet, if those can't
I'll never
give
put
you...
one next to my ear, I'll tell you that.
they look good on you. If you don't have the right security on the device, then no matter how good your app is, that is the vetting process becomes worthless. Now, when we're talking about the security of device, we're not necessarily talking about your iPhone or your Android device and whether it's secure, but really how does it integrate with Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12, HSPD 12, as we've called it, you know, smart identification cards, because there is a mandate for agencies to use these HSPD 12 cards to log on to their network. And the question is, how do you do it from your smartphone or your tablet? Tom McCarty is the Director of Identity, Credential, and Access Management at DHS. He says HSPD 12 and mobility are a barrier to each other today, but they could be an enabler for each other in the near future. McCarty says 85% of all DHS employees log on to their network today using their smart ID cards. But if they're going to move to things like Virtual Desktop Initiative, VDI, push for ubiquitous data and application accessibility, then the merging of HSPD 12 and mobility really does have to happen. So to that end, DHS is close to launching a small-scale pilot testing out the concept of something called a derived credential. McCarty says this is actually their second pilot. They did an 18-month effort with the MITRE Corporation in a laboratory.
We are focusing our main pilot on our email as a service. That's where most of the people are getting their contacts, calendars, and email. However, as the screen gets bigger, the users want to do real work, so they want to get into their enterprise resources. We want to start developing apps that actually deliver enterprise data, in some instances sensitive data. So this is a great place for us to focus our pilot. So with our email as a service MDM provider, with our identity management system provider, with the phones we've selected for the pilot, we are in the process of putting together the pilot for Drive Credentials. I'm a pilot user. We test it out because if we can't make it work, then how do we expect anyone to be able to use it? But so that's pretty much our focus, is we really focus on enterprise applications, enterprise services for selecting what to pilot.
Now, DHS also is looking at using a mobile smart card reader as another option, but there are cost and integration issues. And McCarty says employees aren't really that excited about another piece of hardware that they would have to carry. Now, over at the Defense Information Systems Agency, they're a little bit ahead of DHS. Greg Yost is the chief mobility engineer at DISA. He says the DoD CIO authorized a derived credential pilot back in August, and DISA decided to use the Apple iOS and derived credentials.
But we're actually running 14 devices right now using actual soft certs in the native key store. NSA looked at a couple of years ago at Samsung and iOS and basically came back and said, putting certificates in the key store is good enough. What happened then is we had a PKI implementation memorandum come out from DOD CIO that basically said we are going to put all our focus on doing derived certificates into the key store. At the same time, we are actually developing an over-the-air PKI provisioning process. We expect to have a demonstrator of doing certificates over the air to iOS devices by mid-March. Now, according to the PKI implementation memorandum from DOD CIO, we're supposed to be operational with this system by the end of July. I'm not going to comment whether we're going to make it or not, but we are pushing toward operational for FY15.
Now, you heard Yost talk really about two different efforts that are related. The first is their current test, what they're doing right now, and that's making sure, Tom, an alternative token, or what he called a soft certificate, can be secured in the operating systems of the iOS, what they call the key store. Now, this is a chip or part of the phone's hardware where data is stored, not the memory, but the specific hardware where this key store would live and would hold the soft certificate. The second piece, by mid-March, and this is the what he calls the over-the-air PKI, public key infrastructure. This is a huge effort where DISA is creating a process to provision a certificate, so electronic, you know, hash that shakes its hand. There's a public one, a private one, there's a trusted one. And through a derived credentials, that's derived credentials from that HSPD-12, or in DOD's case, their common access card. And what they're doing is creating a trusted path back to a common trusted source of authentication. In this case, it's the main database that DOD runs, something called DEERS. It gets into the weeds a little bit here, Tom, but basically they're trying to prove two different things at DISA. And if they can prove that this system works, this approach works, this will open the door to a lot of other agencies and to what DHS's McCarty says must happen, the merging of mobility and smart identification cards.
And Jason, when I was at the IAC Innovation, they had those 30 innovative applications being shown and people were voting for them. That was a couple of weeks ago. I think you went down there also. NASA showed a plan where you could get rid of your federal ID secure card and simply get like a number over the air to authenticate yourself into a cell phone or a smartphone. And so I wonder if that work is already being done on the civilian side. Maybe the two should get together and talk to one another.
Well, I think you're right. I think there definitely is work being done in other agencies, not just NASA, but I imagine some of the leaders when it comes to the use of derived credentials. GSA, Interior, potentially USDA have all been out ahead over the years when it comes to HSPD-12 and the use of this technology. And I'm pretty sure, I would bet that Greg Yost is talking to a lot of people about this. He's one of those people who will never turn down a conversation, which I always appreciate as a reporter. So I'm sure that there is some discussions going on, especially within the interagency working groups that exist.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks again for joining us early with a great report.
My pleasure.